This is Central Time. As I dimly recall, music classes and music lessons can be fun and challenging for kids. But our next guest says, along with the scales and the recitals, music education teaches kids valuable lessons about life and success.
And we want to hear from you. Were you in school bands? Did you play an instrument? And do you think that it actually helped you later on in life, in school or at work? And how so? If you're a music teacher, you could call us and tell us about the benefits of musical training as you see it. You can reach us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or send your email to talk@wpr.org.
Joanne Lipman joins us now. She's a journalist and editor, co-author of the book Strings Attached, One Tough Teacher and the Gift of Great Expectations. Her piece on the benefits of music was in the New York Times. We've got a link to that on the Central Times Facebook page. Joanne, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. Great to be here.
So what's the link between musical training and success?
So the Times piece that you're referring to grew out of the book Strings Attached, which you mentioned, which is about this incredibly remarkable, inspirational music teacher in a public school in New Jersey whose students went on to outsize success. And, I mean, in a larger sense, it really is about kind of the mentors that we all have in our own lives, and whether it be music teacher or a coach, you know, the person who kind of changes your life. But there is this connection that we've uncovered between music training and all of the skills that you learn with music training and success in later life. There's studies that link music training to academic success, but what we found is that there's all these other qualities that are really essentially life skills that you need whether you become a musician or not.
Now, you list lots of people, you encountered lots of them who were musicians and have gone on to achieve great things. Can you tell us about a few of them?
Sure. So I spoke to, one of the things as we were researching Strings Attached is I kept noticing that there were all of these really outstanding people in different fields who had started out as musicians. And I just kind of kept a running tally of them, and I thought, you know, I wonder if there, first of all, is there a link and what would they see in it? And so basically I picked up the phone and called all these people and everybody wanted to talk about it. It was fascinating. So one of the people I spoke to was Alan Greenspan, who was chairman of Federal Reserve, of course, and who many people do not know actually was a professional clarinet and saxophone player who actually attended Juilliard and played in a jazz band before he decided to go back for his economics degree. And another person I spoke to was Paul Allen, who was the co-founder of Microsoft, who spoke about kind of what music had done for him. He started out as a violin player, switched to guitar, and he told me he actually came to a fork in the road in high school where he could have gone on and become actually a professional rock guitarist. Or he could have gone into programming. And as he said, that turned out pretty darn well.
Now, when you talk, not a bad choice, I guess.
Not a bad choice,
When you talk to people like that, what do they say about their musical background that helped them in their non-musical careers?
Exactly. So what's so fascinating is just about everybody I spoke to made a connection between the qualities they learned in music and their success later in life. And so one of the things they talked about was the focus and the discipline that music training requires. Another thing that they mentioned, and actually I found this fascinating, this was something that Alan Greenspan alluded to, that Paul Allen did, was this sort of as music opening up pathways to creativity. And when I spoke with Paul Allen, he described music as sort of the flip side, as he said, of his analytical brain. And it basically kind of opens your mind to hearing things differently. And actually, almost everybody I spoke to talked about the idea of listening and processing and also kind of putting together disparate strands of thought. So, you know, one of the people I spoke to was Woody Allen, who plays the clarinet. He actually still plays professionally. And then I spoke to a couple of broadcasters, like people like, very interesting, Chuck Todd, who many people know of as he's the White House correspondent for NBC, was actually a very, very serious French horn player who went to college on a French horn scholarship. And he talked about how he uses the focus, the discipline, the listening, the ability to kind of pick these disparate strands and kind of make some sense out of it, all to his training on the French horn. And another broadcaster, Paula Zahn, who many people know, also, she went to school on a cello scholarship. And she said she used to spend 3 and 4 hours every day in a room, basically practicing the detail work of one phrase in a piece of music. And she said those qualities really bring home to you the ability to focus, to listen, to be able to absorb things quickly. She said, you know, all the things that she learned that she needed to be a journalist on deadline came out of that practice room.
Joanne, how do we know that all the success you're talking about can be ascribed to music? Because you're talking about these kind of super achievers. Isn't it possible that these people are just really hard workers and they would be working hard no matter what they did?
That was why I made the phone call in the first place. And that's such a great question. And it's also at the heart of the book Strings Attached, which was we wanted to, the reason that we wrote Strings Attached, which tells the story of this incredibly, of this one remarkable public school music teacher who inspired thousands of kids, and they went on to outsize success compared to, you know, kind of their peer group in their school. And that was kind of the question that we wanted to get to the heart of, which is, what comes first? Is it that kids who are going to be achievement-oriented are attracted to music, or is it that music somehow helps develop these skills? And I think that, in a sense, it's both. But there, pretty much everyone who I spoke to in these high achievers said that music helped hone whatever those skills were that were necessary for them to achieve. But I do think, yes, I would, frankly, I think that you do have, you know, music does sort of attract people, and those people who tend to be high achievers.
Getting back briefly to your point about creativity, I hear again and again these fields like math, programming, that we think of as analytical are actually way more creative than we thought. Is that part of why people, in just a minute or so before we go to news, saw music as such a lesson there for them?
We have seen in the research that there is a connection between the math and musical processing. But what was far interesting to me was, as I spoke to these people, because that has been established, but the way that people talked about that, who are higher math people like Paul Allen, like there's a hedge fund manager by the name of Bruce Kovner who was a pianist at Juilliard, and the way they spoke about it was less about kind of numbers and more about how you relate to pattern recognition, how you relate to kind of how you process. It was more about the thought process and less about kind of a pure numerical equivalency.
Well, we're talking right now to Joanne Lipman about the unexpected benefits of music education.
And we want to hear from you. Did you study music as a kid? As a parent, do you want your kids to? And what do you think the benefits are? What do you get out of it in your non-musical life? You can call us, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or tweet us. We're Central Time WPR. I'm Rob Ferret.
I'm Veronica Rickert. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, we'll catch up on the latest Wisconsin news with news director Michael Leland.
Now we continue our conversation about the benefits of learning music with Joanne Lipman. She's a journalist, editor, co-author of the book Strings Attached.
And we'd love to hear your story. How did learning music affect your life? Do you think it benefited you down the road, maybe helped you achieve some things? What do you think? You can call us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll go to Brian in Oconomowoc now. Brian, hi, you're on the air.
Hey, I love the show, love everything that's been said so far. I think it's great. For me, music was the reason I ended up going on to college. I just fell in love with performing and playing and learning it. And now I'm currently actually teaching music, just finishing up school. And I think one of the most valuable things I've learned is that music can help teach something that is hard to get in many other classes, which is feeling emotion and understanding emotions and ways of expressing it and dealing with it. Not to mention, you know, it's kinesthetic, it's aural, it's so many different things. But great show, and I just wanted to add that bit about being able to feel and express those emotions.
All right, Brian, thanks a lot. Joanne, what do you think about that? Music helps us deal with our emotions, work with our emotions.
I completely agree. That's something that in Strings Attached, one of the pieces that came out of it is that, and in fact, the teacher we write about, is we call Mr. K, his name was Jerzy Kopczynski. He was a Ukrainian immigrant who had this quite tragic life, and music, he was able to channel that through music into this incredible legacy of beauty and joy and success for his students. And I found the same thing. When we talked to these really high achievers, a lot of them mentioned music as an emotional outlet. I mean, people as disparate as Alan Greenspan, former chairman of the Federal Reserve, and Woody Allen of Woody Allen fame, both talked about that the importance of music as an emotional outlet.
And it's interesting that a lot of the people you learned about, they continued music, even though they weren't really getting paid for it. They made their bread and butter elsewhere, but there was something about the joy of making music that stayed with them.
Yeah, without question, there's something in music that is this kind of, it's joyous. It allows them to channel both their thoughts, their emotions, and their creativity in different ways. And several people, a number of people I talked to, talked about how the process of making music opened up these pathways to creativity or to different ways of thinking. And it was very interesting. Paul Allen, who, you know, the co-founder of Microsoft, talked about how the process of creating music was similar to the process of creating kind of breakthrough coding on computers, in that both, he said, there's something that is pushing you to look beyond what currently exists and to express yourself in a new way.
All right, we'll go back to the phones now. We have Emily in South Milwaukee. Emily, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I am a music teacher from Milwaukee Public Schools currently, so music has obviously had a very large impact in my life. What I'd like to add to this conversation is that music really is a collaborative effort. And something that I really learned was how to work with people. And I love how music really just brings together people of different backgrounds, different cultures. It really is something that's very universal. So that's just something I wanted to add.
All right. Thanks, Emily. Joanne, what do you think?
I'm so glad that Emily brought that point up. I think that is one of the key points of music and one of the reasons why both in Strings Attached and with these pieces that I've written around it, that people have cited as music for helping them to be successful in other careers is because of that ensemble playing, listening to others. There's a guy I talked to by the name of Steve Hayden, who was a legendary ad guy who created the Apple 1984 commercial that's kind of one of the most famous commercials ever. And he said music, he was a cellist, and he said he was thinking of Stravinsky, he said, when he wrote that commercial, which is so cool. But he said that what music did for him is it made him successful in advertising because he was able to listen and able to work well with others, and that people who have that training learn to work well in any environment.
All right. Well, thanks so much for that call, Emily. And let's move to Jan in Madison. Hi, Jan.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. One of the things that's so important about music is when you get involved with music, you understand that there are so many patterns and different ways to look at music.
I think we're losing your connection there, Jan, but I think we got the thrust of her comment there, Joanne, talking about being able to pick up patterns and notice things. Is music good for that?
Definitely. That's part of that mathematical connection, but it also extends beyond math into language recognition. Several people I spoke to talked about, it's called synesthesia almost, where you understand patterns and you see them. Almost, you might hear a pattern, but you can visualize it, and music kind of helps you to make these connections and see patterns that you wouldn't otherwise.
All right, thanks a lot for the call, Jan. We have Tom with us in La Crosse now. Hi, Tom.
Hi. I assume all aspiring musicians are composers, actually, in the raw, and they would like to do something on their own And this would be a good example of how these individuals you're discussing play out their desires and needs. And mathematics would make a perfect balance to their musical concepts. What's your thoughts?
So composition in addition to performance, Joanne.
Yeah, I think that that goes definitely to the creativity aspect of music. Not all musicians are composers, of course, but there is something that does free up kind of creative thinking and different ways of thinking. And on that point of the mathematics, I learned something in researching strings attached, which I had no idea, but the single most successful applicants to medical school are music majors. They have a better success rate than even like biology majors.
Wow, that is that's very interesting. Well, so with that in mind, we are in an era right now when we're seeing diminishing arts education across the board, diminishing music education. So, you know, given what you've said and what you've seen, is that a mistake?
Well, I would certainly say so. In Strings Attached, one of the big messages that we hope that people will leave the book with is understanding that music education is not, it doesn't end with music. That is just the starting point. And that what we found in the book and what we found with, you know, we wrote about this really inspirational, very, very tough, very demanding music teacher in New Jersey whose students went on to outsize success in so many other fields. And they credit, I interviewed all of these students, and to say to them, you know, what was it about this one guy? And they all talked about the qualities that they used to succeed in their careers. They talked about things like resilience and focus and discipline and all these qualities that they learned in the orchestra room that translated not just into academic success, but into the tools they needed to succeed in life and in their career.
All right, we've got another caller, Barry in La Crosse now. Barry, hi.
Oh, I just wanted to share a couple of stories of early music experiences I had. I did piano as about an 8 to 10 years old. I did piano, and I had a piano recital where I broke down, like I made a big mistake in the middle of one of my pieces, and I just broke down crying. Right in the recital, I couldn't figure out how to finish the piece, and had a traumatic experience, but carried on with music, and also did some Irish dance as a young child and had to get up in front of my school with a kilt and do Irish dancing in front of my whole elementary school. So now as an adult, I don't have the slightest bit of stage fright, or, you know, I'm really comfortable getting up in front of crowds now, because what could be harder than as an 8-year-old getting up in a kilt in front of your school doing Irish dancing?
Well, Barry, I've never done that, Barry, but your experience rings true for me. I don't think I could do this job without my musical background. Stage fright and panic early doing music. I've worked through that. Making a mistake and picking up and running afterward, all from music that has helped me here. So, yeah, overcoming the maybe a fear of being up in front of other people and looking foolish, Joanne.
So true. I love that story, and I think almost every musician has a story like that, and it does help you in terms of, I certainly found it for myself. The Strings Attached, the story is of this, my childhood music teacher who taught me how to play the viola, and I didn't have to wear a kilt, but I had a very, very similar performance experience, and ever since then, I have had no fear of public speaking, because it's so much easier to talk than it is to play the viola. So I so relate to that. And one of the students, actually, of the Mr. K students that I talked with in Strings Attached, who went on to great success, she made the wisest comment, which I think is so true of the great music teachers out there, which is, she said, in our case, Mr. K, who's the subject of the book, she said, Mr. K taught us how to fail and how to pick ourselves back up again. And that's so key to anything you do in life is, you know, knowing if you mess up, knowing that you can pick yourself back up again and how to fix it.
Well, you were talking earlier about how music taught focus and discipline and qualities of perseverance. You think that could apply to, you know, other arts, maybe the fine arts, if we just practice it with those qualities in mind? Is that maybe what's special about music?
Well, I do think that there's something to be said for mentors generally, and particularly kind of very often the mentors you don't appreciate. In our case, in Strings Attached, the man we write about was really exacting and demanding and, you know, didn't praise us if we didn't deserve it. His highest praise was not bad. He had us audition all the time and didn't sugarcoat it. You know, if we didn't do well, we didn't do well. It was just kind of focus on improving the next time. And I think in music, it really lends itself to that. But I do think that you can see it in other arts and also in other fields. I mean, I think that's something in common with great coaches. One of the interesting things since Strings Attached came out is the reader response has been fascinating because people will talk about, you know, it's a bit of a tearjerker. There's a kind of a sad story, but inspiring. But we hear from these readers who say, I finished the last page weeping, then I reached for the phone, picked it up, and called my fourth grade soccer coach, you know, or my English professor. And I think that those qualities can exist in other areas as well.
All right. Well, Joanne, it's been so interesting. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. Great conversation.
That was Joanne Lipman. She's a journalist, editor, and co-author of Strings Attached, One Tough Teacher, and The Gift of Great Expectations. We have her article on music education linked on the Central Time Facebook page.